everyone! Welcome back to There Are Four Hosts. There are four hosts, as usual. Hosts. There are four hosts. welcome to 2021. We had to take a little break there. I'm sure you understand why. But we're back, and we're here to talk about Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, which I had totally forgotten was written and directed by Shatner. But before all that, hi everyone, I'm one of the hosts, Sabrina. You can find me at Voidcat Gaming on Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram. Michael, and you're up.
I am Michael. You can find me at Four Hosts on the Twitters.
I'm Jonathan. You can find me at Just Average J on all the socials.
Hi, I'm Keith. You'll find me. You'll find that I flow like butter beer on Diagon Streets, and you'll find me getting fantastic because I'm these beats when I do my podcast on the Couch Command on PopGeeks.com. Mm-hmm. Damn, I was...
And you can spot me on there every once in a while, too.
Indeed.
Yeah, you guys did a good job with the last one. I heard it was a good job.
Thank you.
The Wonder Woman one?
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, yeah. For those of you who are listening, Keith and I recorded a podcast about our feelings about Wonder Woman, and interestingly enough, they're kind of similar to my feelings about Final Frontier.
Ooh. Oh. Interesting.
They're actually connected. Ouch. No, not in that way, we talked about how it seemed like there were kind of like two or three different movies going on in Wonder Woman, and I kind of feel that way about Final Frontier.
And what's also similar is I give Final Frontier a giant pass just like I give Wonder Woman, because I like them a lot. Even though they totally just shat the bed, like story-wise, structure-wise, like both of them just messes all up and down the street. But, man, I like Wonder Woman. Like, Diana, she's one of my heroes. I always like, you know, the Star Trek Enterprise crew. I always want to hang with them, so yeah, they can mess up a lot, and I'll be like, oh, you know what, I'll let it go.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up, because not to cut in front of line of everybody, but that's kind of how I feel about Final Frontier. Mm-hmm. They're bits of it that I'm just like, this is fucking stupid. And then bits of it that I'm like, oh, this is so sweet, I love this scene, I wish the scene was in a better plot.
Yeah. I don't know, are we going to do the round table of what we thought, or how are we doing this?
Yes, okay. Sorry, it's been a bit since I've done this. We're going to start with, were you coming at with this film? It came out about 2 weeks after I was born.
Youngster.
Whoa. Nice.
Damn. Personally, it was never really one of my favorites. I didn't really watch it with my dad. My dad's not particularly, he doesn't watch this movie as often as we watch, like, the actual shows. So I didn't see it many times. My primary memories of it are of, like, the fun camping shenanigans going on. Mm-hmm. And then every time we get to the Cybok plot, the end of the Cybok plot, I'm like, wait, what? What is this? What? How did this get involved in this movie? So that's where I'm coming from it. Michael?
Yeah, I don't remember. This came out about 10 years after I was born. I don't really remember seeing it for the first time, but I remember watching it with my dad. And both he and I loved the camping at the beginning. So even though I didn't like the movie overall, I thought there's still good Trek in there. But I mainly watch it now for the camp scenes with Spock and McCoy and stuff.
Yeah.
Jay? After that, it goes downhill.
I don't know the year specifically, but I think I was probably 9 or 10 as well.
June 10th, 1989, I think.
Oh, okay, I was 9. Actually, I was just about to turn 9. How funny. Yes, so I thought it was okay. It's funny, like, I always find it funny to see them camping. Like, the camping scenes are... You know, it's kind of cute in here. Try my beans, and the secret ingredient is Kentucky, you know, and Tennessee whiskey. I mean, it's funny because they're such. I always find it hilarious because they are. They're here we are in like however many hundreds of years in the future, but like they're camping, drinking Tennessee whiskey, like on a campfire I understand.
Don't try to tell McCoy that school alcohol isn't.
Well, and McCoy's a cowboy, so I mean, it makes total sense. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, literally.
Yeah, I know. So it's, I actually, I thought those scenes I always find funny, because I'm like, yeah, that's what I do 300 years in the future for my off time, you know, but at the same time, like, that's me, I'm not a camper. So.
Oh, I would not. Yeah. Those scenes always make me angry, even like back when I was a kid. I was just like, come on. You could do everything in the universe. Everything.
I know.
He just wants to climb a rock, okay? Yeah. He thinks it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Because it's there.
But the whole, like, you know, because the whole plot of the movie is a little bit, yeah. I mean, it's, convoluted? Yeah. You know, I mean, there are some good parts, some bad parts. It's not my favorite Trek movie. I'll say that.
I mean, can it be anybody's favorite Trek movie when compared to some of the other Trek movies?
I would say no, but that's just
I actually.
Keith, how do you feel about this movie?
Yeah, go ahead.
Where are you coming from? Sorry, Jay.
No worries.
My path of this was, I was 12 when it came out, and, like, you know, just, you know, in my stride of dorkness. and for me, I did not like Voyage Home. I just wasn't a fan of, like, I hate, like, with Stargate and with anything, like, stop going to Earth. I don't need that. I don't need my present time. And I'm watching you to be far away from here, and that's not cute to me. I know everybody, like, yeah, but, like, actually, like...
Oh, that's fair, that's fair. Yeah, I see where you're coming from.
So, yeah, we get to hear, and then, like, the concept is, like, what, we're finding God? That's pretty bold. Okay, that's cool. And we're back on the Enterprise? Cool, we got the ship, we got the crew, we got a crazy mission. And then, by the end of it, we shoot God in the face, and I'm just like, ah, USA! And I had a great time when I watched it, so I've watched all the reviews, and I know all those things.
He's not a real God, Keith.
Oh, yeah, I got like even a fan theory about that, which I'm not sure if I should say now or later.
I want to hear now.
Yeah, me too.
My fan theory is that that thing was what we thought was God. Like, it's been there forever and up until this story. And it's been, like, it's weak, but it can send out, like, thoughts across the galaxy. So it's just been, like, giving, like, people, like, thoughts and dreams and feelings and whatnot, and, like, creating all these myths and stuff until that, you know, some space-faring species finally can influence one by somebody and cyborg that person. And then we find the source of all of our myths and shoot in the face because it's just an alien.
Okay. Yes, that is a great theory, but also I'm going to have to do something that I haven't done in a while. Keith, there's a TOS episode about that.
Ooh. Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
called Who Mourns for Adonais.
Is that the Abraham Lincoln one?
Nope.
Oh.
It's an episode where they find Apollo, I believe, one of the Greek gods. And it turns out that the Greek gods were actually aliens who used to hang out on Earth, and they get their power from the belief of humans.
Oh, that's cool.
But then, like, they left Earth, and then because the humans weren't feeding them with their, like, faith anymore, they died out slowly, like fairies, I guess.
Okay.
And Apollo was the last one.
Uh-huh.
And then
I remember that episode.
He dropped them on Earth.
Kind of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like, who wants for Adonais?
I saw that when I was in single digits, so I barely remember it. But I know of it. So,
but it's exactly that concept that what we thought were gods were actually just aliens that were way more advanced than us.
That's interesting.
And they helped us out, and then they fucked off. And
and apparently there's a book that says that what we are seeing is a being called the One that the Q Continuum beat down and kicked to that planet and imprisoned there.
Yeah, that's funny. The Q Continuum's like,
They did not like that guy.
Get out of here.
He's an asshole.
That's funny. Question. This is kind of random. I don't know why, but when I watch Spock and Cybok, I get the vibe of Data and Lore. Now, mind you, Cybok ends up coming around, and Lore is just pure evil. But for a while, I'm watching them, and I'm like, man, that's like Data and Lore. It just totally... again, I'm a TNG dude, so that's my thing, you know?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, right?
Well, okay, cause, I know. Because, like, there is kind of like a parallel. Like, I've always considered Data to be the Spock of TNG, and then like his opposite has feelings, which is Lore.
Yep.
And then you have Spock, who has there's the brother that has feelings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense for them to replicate since they're similar. Yep.
Hmm.
I have a question. What what was the deal with Cybok's power that he had over people? Because I even tried looking that up on the internet, and I didn't get a good answer as far as why people would follow him, you know, like, just because he, you know, released their pain or whatever. Do you guys...
Michael?
Yes?
Quick question.
Yes?
Why are people following Trump?
Oh, yeah.
No, right. Wait, no, no, no. Uh-huh. That's not why. Stop. I hate the Trump. But the reason why. Actually, wait. No.
I'm just saying that sometimes there's not that. Like a sense.
No, that was well said. That was point taken. Yeah, but I was like,
but
does it have some special Vulcan power or something, or what's
the deal? Power of manipulation? The power of manipulation. Sorry, go ahead.
The official answer is that they don't care and they didn't try to figure it out and they're just, you know, works with the story. But to me, what makes sense in the story is that, like this weak thing, it's finally gotten a connection to somebody, and he's able to mess with them enough so that he gets a little extra boost in his, Vulcan powers.
I see. God is like, I will aid you in getting other people to follow you, because that's what we do with messiahs, and, that's how I'm gonna get my way.
Yep, he's like, oh, I finally got somebody. All right, the connection's good. All right, here's a little of this, because I'm gonna need you to give,
boost me up, baby!
Yep. So, that's what I saw. Yeah. Although, everything I've ever seen, there's a writer's strike in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And
there was, yes.
Yeah, so there's lots of problems trying to write the story, so I don't think they cared.
Well, also because it just started with this whole Shiner's concept of, you know, televangelists are fucky, so Cybok is a televangelist, so I'm not sure you thought much more about it after that.
Yeah, that was the original idea, right, I think? Or was that also with Khan, too, remember, I think?
Mm-hmm.
There was like
I don't think so. I think it was just for this one.
Okay.
If
we're talking about things that don't quite line up or make sense... How do the ships get through the Great Barrier? They just fly through it? Like, no other ship, no other probe has ever made it through or come back. But here we go. Oh, and what do you know?
But now
and what
it
do
works.
You know? A Klingon bird of prey does too.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like that bit in Star Wars in the one that shall not be mentioned where they're like, it's going to be super hard to get here. You have to get a knife that gives you a map to give you another map to give you a thing. And then Rey goes, and then all of a sudden everybody can get there immediately.
That's not that hard. Yeah, I've tried so hard to think of a fan theory for years for that. The closest I get is
the person who wrote this didn't think too hard about it.
All aliens up to this point, basically throwing anything into it is like throwing things into a sun. So why take anyone's ship into there? Although, it's a bad example. Like nothing comes out of there. So like it's like going into a sun. So. Then maybe we have, like, since he has a connection to the God being in there, he has the foresight to ... it's terrible. Like, I don't think they even try, because, like, going to this...
There are many moments where you're like, there are fan theories, but it's clearly fans just desperately trying to make sense of something that the writers didn't care that much about.
Yeah, like...
I figured they would have covered it in a novel later or something, but I couldn't find anything, so yeah, it was disappointing.
Like, going to a certain galaxy in the first place, you can't do that in Star Trek. Mm-hmm. Like, you just can't just... go there. There's like my favorite thing, like I saw like a long time ago where someone did like the realistic, they're trying to be realistic about how they're doing Star Trek Next Generation and like how much they're exploring, and like over the hundreds of, you know, couple hundred years that humanity's been going across the stars, they showed like how much of the galaxy like they've explored. It was like this little tiny bubble. Yes. I was like, cool. Yes. All right, you guys care about the scale of the galaxy. But then here, Sulu says, all right, let's go to the center of the galaxy. That'll be 6 hours. And I'm just like,
what?
Yeah, right?
Okay.
All right, fine. We're not doing this, so I guess we don't care. So I'll let it go.
I will admit, it is nice to know that this existed prior to New Trek, just because, you know, a lot of people are, you know, bagging on Discovery and Picard and stuff. But, you know, they were doing this stuff back then, too.
Okay, but people are also bagging on Final Frontier.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, cool.
It's... To bag upon fiction is a part of its engagement.
Yes.
And then sometimes we find that which actually passes the test. Mm-hmm. And that's when we celebrate all the more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It did it!
Okay, yeah.
But to be clear, Final Frontier is not one of those.
No. That was just like, I'm just happy. Like, so, like, what people tried to say to me, like, when, like, I was like, guys, like, all these things in Star Wars, what the hell? And they're like, I just like to be here. Well, okay, this is one of the times I'm like that. Like, like someone pointed out how in this movie we actually get like, you know, everybody's doing the ensemble thing. We're on the Enterprise. It's a Star Trek story. Everybody seemed to be kind of, well,
Yeah, the super adorable shot of Chekhov and Sulu being like lost in the forest. And then Uhura's like, we got to call you back. And they're like, oh, there's a blizzard. That's why we're lost. And she's like, mm-hmm.
Excellent. Oh, fun fact, you know, they're going to Shakari, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know where that comes from?
No.
The original actor they wanted to cast as Cybok, Sean Connery.
What?
Really? Yep. That's Shakari.
Nice.
It's Sean Connery.
Nice.
That would have been cool.
That William Shatner made.
That's funny. I will admit, the actor that played Cybok was amazing. Like, he is an amazing actor. Yeah, he was fantastic.
Found by accident by just flipping through channels, and like this guy was on some British TV show or something like that, and you're like, oh my god, this guy's fantastic. We must have him.
Nice.
That's how it happened.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Another fun fact about the camping trip. So do you guys? I'm not sure if we've done this before. Spock says marshmallow. You guys know why he says that?
Marshmallows.
Do you guys know why he says that?
No.
So, in the novelization, which is based on the original script, before they went camping, McCoy played a prank on Spock. He went into, like, the database and changed marshmallow to marshmallow. So, when Spock did his, like, research, he found marshmallow. And that's why McCoy's laughing even harder when he says during the camping. Awesome. And then,
he's like, it works. I tricked him.
Yes. We think he's just laughing at, you know, Vulcans being silly, but that's like the culmination of his trick.
Oh, McCoy and Spock. Oh, that's adorable. I love their banter.
Yeah, me too.
It's weird in fandom. There's like two reactions to the banter. Half of the people are like, yes, this is friends bantering, making fun of each other, which is like a thing that most of us have done and have done on record on this like
absolutely
podcast.
Yep.
So like, yeah, and then the other half are like, he's being racist. And I'm like,
yeah.
Space racism like this is totally okay to me. Like, dwarves should talk like that, and she'll get guys named Dr. Bones.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not space racism, because we've seen space... Oh, that's also a TOS episode. Never mind.
Well, you can tell that McCoy, you know, they love each other, even though they,
exactly.
Tease each other.
So he calls him a green-blooded hobgoblin, lovingly.
Well, I find their banter adorable. It's like family, like brothers or cousins. It's adorable. Like, it's adorable to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, this was brought up earlier, but McCoy's a cowboy, and they gave him... People always like, oh, Firefly, Western in space. Well, guess what? Star Trek was supposed to be a Western in space.
Yeah.
Didn't the Final Frontier give it away for you? Anyway, yeah. DeForest Kelly was straight up in Westerns before he did... Dr. McCoy, and I think there's a lot of deliberate references to that.
There's apparently this new thing came out about who really created Star Trek. Not Gene Roddenberry. Gene Roddenberry did, but the reason why we always call this the wagon train to the stars is because Gene Roddenberry hired the guy that did Wagon Train, the TV show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he made Starfleet. He made a whole bunch. And this other woman, this guy, the woman's name DC something, like DC Fontaine.
DC Fontana.
Him, her, and the guy who did Wagon Train, they both create a lot of the thick elements that we know of Star Trek as.
Cool.
There's the specific reason why they call it Wagon Train is because it's done by the guy who made it, Wagon Train.
Oh, that's funny.
Yep.
That's cute. I love it.
Nice.
All
right. Yes, Keith?
So, was that Uhura dancing at the top of that
hill?
Yes,
it was. That's the famous, infamous / infamous Uhura dance.
Yeah. Everybody goes, ew, oh no, why? How come that happened? Hey, that's sexist. I go, whoa, holy shit, you're hot. I mean,
Uhura, I'm like,
how old are you?
Like,
because you got a body on you. Like, holy hell.
Age is just a number, Keith. It's just a number.
No shit.
Yeah,
those calves.
Yeah.
Uhura is a goddess, a dancing, singing goddess, and anybody who says otherwise, I will show the door.
Oh yeah,
hell yeah,
yeah. Is the was the actress actually a dancer or something?
Or
she's just a badass?
Nichols, I believe she was definitely a singer, like trained singer, mm-hmm. but it's pretty common for actors to also be trained in singing and dancing. Okay. So extremely possible.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
But also I think it was just like part of her performance training.
I love.
Yeah, I love. Yeah. I liked it.
I love that. Well,
yeah. I loved her little.
Sorry. Hello, yeah, sorry, boys.
Yeah.
Aw, dang.
Go ahead.
As an actor, like, I gotta say, it's really exciting when they use your special talents. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm sure she was into it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
She seemed to be having a good time, and yeah, I love that. Hello there, boys.
Well, what I found hilarious is the group of guys are like, oh, what's that? Is that a woman? Mm-hmm. And then all you hear is she naked? Is she naked? Is she naked? Like, automatically, that's the first thing, like, oh.
That's all they can
like,
think about.
She must be naked if she's up there on the... Like, why... That was one of those lines where I'm like, that line doesn't need to be there.
Guys, why is...
That's Shatner. That's the way Shatner thinks,
I know,
okay?
I know.
They should have been like, why is this special, guys? There's plenty of women in this very town. No. The script needs us to be crazy right now. Let's go. Yay.
I've never seen a dancing woman before.
What? Yeah.
It's literally a...
Oh, my God.
Speaking of...
She's almost... right at the bar right now, guys.
Speaking of the beautiful women in the town...
It's different.
Beautiful women in the town, the Romulan that was in there that was, you know, captured, she was
like a human.
Yeah, well, yeah. She was a newscaster. The actress was a newscaster here in the Bay Area at one point in time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I can see that, even.
Man, this movie has a lot of trivia.
I know.
Well, I like the actor that played the Terran... David Warner, I like him a lot. He's a good actor. Because he was in Chain of Command, the TNG episode, as the Cardassian.
That's right.
So, yeah. Let's see. One of the things I loved about the movie, to me, and I think I made, like I said, I was buying into it because I wanted to. And like how they're like, that's oh, funny. Man, I want to take down Kirk because he's the best. I'm like, I bet he is. This guy's on TV series. And like they roll up on him and like, I did like how, like, Kirk's, what I saw looked like pretty great strategizing when he, drop the shields, fire the shuttle, catches and then launches and they miss him. And I was just like, yeah, that's how you do it with, like, the top crew of, like, Starfleet. I love that.
Ha ha! Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah. Was that cool to everybody else or am I, like, seeing it through, like.
How the Klingon was like, I'm going to defeat him specifically because he is famous.
Yes.
Oh, shit, I fucked up.
Well, yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, the strategy of him. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was cool, yeah.
Agreed. So real quick, though, when Michael brought up the Chain of Command episode, that's what our podcast is named after, y'all. So, I mean, there are four lights. There are four hosts. I mean, like, that actor is the reason we exist.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know about that.
Not for that guy.
Well, actually, he's actually my father, so it is the reason.
Okay, man. No wonder you wanted to name the podcast this. Okay.
Ooh.
I wish, damn.
I apologize to our editor for that very loud laugh.
Too funny. Too funny.
Anyway, so, favorite part of this movie, Jay?
My favorite part, let's see, that's a tough one. Well, it's probably the most famous line in the movie, but the, why does God need a starship? You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where he's like, oh, you have a starship? Well, maybe I can be, you know, you can transport me. You can transport
like
me in your starship.
He's like, all right, buddy.
And everyone's kind of like, well, okay. And Kirk's like, wait a minute. I have a question. And then he like ignores him. And he's like, hold on. I have a question.
Hold on.
He's like, what does God need with a starship? And that right there I mean, that's because that's what this movie is. It's not really that crazy to, you know, intellectual. Like, there's nothing in it that really like pulls me in. It's like, oh, this is my favorite part. But that one part is the most memorable because you're like, yeah, why does God need a starship? Because before you've ever seen this movie, you don't think about that. You know what I mean? Like, you're just listening, and then he goes, wait a minute, what does God need with a starship? And then in your brain, you're like, that's right, what do you need with a starship? Hold on.
No, I was thinking about that the entire movie. Like, so, like, I was Christian, more Christian. Mm-hmm. Closer to being a Christian back in that day. So, like, the entire time, I'm like, you know, I'm a little, like, you know, shifty in my seat, like, okay, like, I believe in real God, and, like, you know, if we're going to do this, should be really, really doing this, because, like, why would God be in our galaxy specifically, or on this plane of existence. Okay, how are you guys going to fucking do this? All right, you better do this well. And when he said, was God near the starship? I almost clapped. I was like, thank you. And then, like, all of a sudden, it started breaking down, and they're like, oh, okay, now, okay, he's just an alien. All right, I'm glad everybody took this seriously. Was my reaction.
Aw, that's nice.
Yeah. I was like,
yeah, why was Cyborg not suspicious of a dude being like, I am all-powerful God, can you come rescue me from this?
Yeah, I was thinking that, too. Hey, everyone there should be like, wait, what?
Supposed to be, like, the most intellectual of Vulcans, right? But he can't, like, put two and two together like that?
Well, Cyborg's not the most intellectual of Vulcans. His whole thing is that he's like, Vulcans, we should use our feelings more and not be, like, total dickwad. Like,
but didn't Spock say he was one of the most intelligent, like, or something like
well,
that?
Yeah.
I'm very confused as to the way Cyborg is
written. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, he said he could have been one of the great scholars if he hadn't gone... all emotional.
If you hadn't got all
damn emotions.
Exactly.
Oh, this movie. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think you can all agree. Definitely not one of my favorite movies, but you know, they're like I said earlier, there are some sweet spots that definitely kind of, you know, definitely. You enjoy, but all in all, it's one of those ones that's kind of low on the movies list.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe one day we'll do a ranking the Star Wars movie, the Star Trek movies thing. Yeah. We can do Star Wars 1, 2 if you want, Keith.
Yes.
Michael, what was your favorite part of the movie?
My favorite part was Row.
Spock just doesn't understand. He's like,
it's like, I'm trying to understand the concept of the words or something.
Another fun fact.
He's like, wait, but life isn't a dream.
You're right.
I'm awake.
Another fun fact about that scene, you can buy the marshmallow dispenser. That was a thing that
serious?
Kraft made that you can buy on eBay.
Oh, that's
what?
Awesome.
Yes.
If you want marshmallow dispenser from Star Trek.
Yep.
Going to eBay right now.
I am looking at eBay right
it's
now.
It's available. It's not that expensive last time I checked.
Do you have to spell it marshmallow or marshmallow?
What's your favorite bit?
It should be marshmallow.
Right, yeah.
My favorite bit would be the ending. The shooting God in the face. God, oh my, I love that part so much. Fake God. Although, like, now we can, like, kind of tangle in the meanings of what we're trying to do here. And to me, I thought. So,
right.
Yeah, like, you get to the end, and I love the part where they're like, we can only get two people, and Kirk's like, get those two right now, before they could say anything. And they beam them out. They're like, wait, right, 1 second. They got zapped out. So that's Kirk versus God on a dark planet, and he's running across it, and like the sounds the thing was making were like just kind of scary sounding, and then the final drop, like it gets the drop on Kirk. I love these moments so much. Like ever since the first Star Wars movie, when like the hero thinks this is it, this is where I end, and then like the best friend rises up from the shadows and goes, yahoo! And, like, Spock for this age.
Yeehaw!
I'm, like, actually getting, like, goosebumps right now as I say this. I just love that part so much. And then, like, he shoots it, he saves the day, beams up, and, like, Kirk says, I thought I was done. And we get the call back to the beginning of the movie where Spock goes, nah, man, you weren't alone. I'm like,
yeah.
And he's like, not in front of the Klingons.
Yeah.
Yay!
Y'all like Sorry, each other gentlemen. Too much.
Which is,
I love that so much.
Well, and which is funny, though. Not funny, because he doesn't die alone. He's with Picard when he dies. I mean...
Yeah.
Oh my god, why did you bring that up right now?
Jay, I know.
He wasn't with his friends, I guess, so they're gonna... Anyway, let's not do this now.
What do you mean?
This we'll is, talk about it some other time.
He wasn't. That's the whole thing. He was... Okay, we have to watch that movie before.
Yeah, Kirk... God.
I apologize in advance to Malcolm McDowell.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kirk Hashtag dies. Spoilers Falling for generations. I apologize.
Yeah, damn it.
Oh, yeah, that movie that...
1998 or something? Like 97 or something like that? Yeah.
Jesus.
That was the most disappointing ending to a sci-fi hero until Luke Skywalker.
Right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, Star
like,
Wars.
That was like the
Star Wars conversation. Was
Star Wars had to say, hold my beer.
Yeah. Like, challenge accepted.
They looked at Star Trek Jerry, he says, I can do better than that.
Oh, watch my this. God.
Anyway.
Yeah.
How
26 years ago it came out, so yeah.
Yep. Crazy.
I wait so long, and they do this. Then they wait so long, they do it again. Anyway, there's the V'ger joke where they shoot the that one satellite, which was cute, sort of, I think. I always hate humor around destroying artifacts, especially since it was a real satellite, so... Okay, you know.
What was a real satellite for that?
Yeah, it was a real one. And it
should have been nowhere near them. I missed it.
It should have been, someone did the math, it was like... By that time, it's like 19 light days away from the Earth, but for them in Klingon space is several hundred light years away from Earth. Mm-hmm. Anyway, doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
They're just playing. I get it.
They're like, it's been a couple hundred years. I'm sure it's moved really fast. Like,
well, they
not really.
It happened to circle the sun, and it slingshotted. And what had happened was...
Went back in time or forward in time.
Yep, it was launched back in time, that time that it slingshotted to, like, when humans were still monkeys.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly.
You know. Just, we don't know everything that happened to it on his journey, you know? We can't assume.
And, like, before we were podcasting, I was saying how, like, I love the title. Like, to me, that should be the last movie you make for Star Trek, The Final Frontier.
The Final Frontier should be The Final Frontier?
Yeah, that is a perfect movie title.
Until the next one.
Yeah, Undiscovered Country. I always said, like, they should have saved Undiscovered Country for, like, you know, do that for this one, and then The Final Frontier is to switch the titles or something.
Final. Yeah. I see where you're coming from.
Yeah. I love the Final Frontier as a title.
The Frontier is the West, and then the Frontier after that is the Space, and the Frontier after that is... God?
Yes.
But
God is the final frontier.
But there are so many different kind of, like, deity creatures in Star Trek that are, like, they're not God, but they have powers to appear as God to us, basically.
Nagilum.
What if you're an atheist? Is God still the final frontier, then?
I don't know.
Well, speaking as an atheist, it depends on which atheist you ask. I personally feel that we probably don't understand the entirety of the universe because there's just no way for us to. It's like expecting an ant to understand how airplanes work.
Wouldn't that make you agnostic, not atheist?
Yeah. I'm definitely
fine. I will refer to myself as agnostic from here on out. No.
Oh, right.
I'm an atheist because I don't think that there's a specific like creature that's above us being like, okay, we will help you solve things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I also don't think that everything that we see in the universe is all.
Yeah.
We can see radio waves, but they still exist.
When I was a kid...
They existed before we made them up.
When I was a kid, I used to tell people I was a Scientologist because I didn't know that was a thing. And I think when I was a kid, it wasn't. But I was like, I believe in science. I didn't know. You know what I mean? So I was like, I believe science. Like, science is what I base my beliefs on. Mm-hmm. So I'm a Scientologist. And then I grew up and was like, oh, that was so dumb.
Whoops.
For the record, I'm not a Scientologist.
And you can get a marshmallow dispenser new.
$37. I saw it. I know. We all went to eBay. Nice. I saw Michael like posted it in the Discord.
Yeah.
I had it on my phone. I put it on my wish list.
Listen, if I'm gonna buy anything from this movie, it's gonna be the hover boots.
Those hover boots are sweet. Yeah.
Okay. It's not a favorite scene because it's several scenes, but I do really love just like the whole, you know, it first shows up when Kirk is climbing and McCoy's watching him on his glasses. Goddamn irresponsible. And then he falls and Spock saves him with his hover boots.
Yeah. Cool.
And then way, way later when they're on the ship and they're going through, like, the Jeffries tubes or whatever it was they were sneaking through, Spock shows up with the hover boots again and McCoy's like, no, wait for the next one. Don't make me go.
They're such McCoy. Cartoon characters.
This is
his hatred of like various technologies is just so wonderful.
Well, in the original script, they were going to drink that fuzzy soda from Willy Wonka, but they couldn't get the rights, so they had to go with the boots.
This is one of those moments where I'm like, yeah, I'd be McCoy here because I'm not like a daredevil or anything. Like I equate Kirk to climbing that rock like God that to me like skydiving. I will never skydive. I don't want to skydive. I don't care to skydive. I don't care to rock climb. If I'm going to fall to my death, I'm not. You know what? No, I'm not going to give myself the chance to fall to my death. All right.
I'm not giving myself the opportunity to fall to my death.
So I'm sitting here watching McCoy and I'm like, that's right. You tell him from afar where he can't hear you.
Yeah, I'm not going to jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
Let's see. Oh, originally Spock was supposed to see, not Spock, originally Kirk was supposed to see a vision of the loss of the brother I didn't know he had.
Oh, Kirk?
Yeah.
The original script made a lot of people unhappy, including Gene Roddenberry and Leonard McCoy, Leonard Nimoy and DeForest Kelly.
Yeah, I heard it was very Kirk-centric.
Gee, Shatner writing a Kirk-centric script? Nobody could have seen that coming.
Get the hell out of here.
Apparently in the original script also, Spock and McCoy
successfully get
betray him?
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons they objected to the script. Yep. They were like, hold up. I know you want to be the main character, but what?
Nah. Yep. Yeah, they're like, hey, we're on the show to you. And I guess the other two characters, everybody else didn't get as lucky. It was supposed to be a god planet they were attacking, or going to, like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
But ILM fell through as their effects people, because they're doing Indiana Jones.
Oh. Ah, fun.
Mm-hmm. Any other fun facts or anything?
I love that... that observation deck or whatever they had that they went to with the wheel, the ship wheel and stuff.
Yeah.
That was gorgeous.
It looked like some kind of tin fort-ish place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that it had the actual ship wheel in there.
Mm-hmm.
How do we feel about the Cybok storyline? Like, I was secretly your brother, because there's a lot of argument about that, especially with, you know,
I was gonna say you mean Michael Burnham's other brother that we didn't know about?
Michael Burnham's other brother.
For me, I did a tired sigh, rolled my eyes, and said, "Fine."
I kind of felt the same way.
They
just made it up for the movie and then dropped it. You know
exactly. As y'all know, I grew up role playing, and that's one of the things that happens a lot when you role play in canon, like worlds in fandoms. Like if you're playing in Star Trek or Star Wars or whatever, is that people will make their characters automatically be more important than yours because they're related to others. So whenever I see that in like professional writing, I'm like, all right, okay, so. The entire concept of Cybok was kind of like, all right, to me. But at the same time, in the episode where you meet Spock's parents for the first time, they're at Vulcan for diplomatic reasons. Mm-hmm. For diplomatic reasons. And Kirk is like, well, Spock, aren't you gonna go down to Vulcan and see your parents whilst the ambassador is there, you know, with them? Mm-hmm. And Spock's like awkwardly like, these are my parents. And Kirk's like, wait, what? So it's not that weird that Spock wouldn't tell anybody about his family.
But
don't find strange.
Like, what did the story benefit or gain from them being brothers? I don't understand why they did that. You know, just kind of.
So when Spock didn't shoot him.
Now he's important.
So when Spock didn't shoot him, it made sense.
Yeah, I guess.
And also, just ups the stakes of caring about him, because otherwise he's just some guy who showed up. Now
some random Vulcan,
versus kind of like what they did in Star Wars, where, you know, at first Darth Vader was actually just a bad guy, which I liked, and, you know, just to up the importance of the final showdown, it's actually your father, like, alright, I get, if you want to do that, alright, fine.
And the bit that nobody really talks about is like, hold on, that reveal really fucks with A New Hope, because like, so he just destroyed his daughter's planet in front of her to torture her? Like, yikes.
But, Are we saying, like, both of them look in hindsight, like, oh my god, that was my daughter?
I mean, I guess, but he says he could sense that Luke was his son, so why couldn't he sense that Luke was his daughter? Anyway, that's just the problem with writing a trilogy, but not having the second and third idea until you've already...
Well, he was confused because yeah. Luke was trying to hook up with her, so he was like, oh, that can't be a sister.
Maybe she's not my daughter.
Because that's gross, so...
I really don't want to find out about this, find out about my children in this way.
No, actually, you have me, like, wondering right now, wait, how did Vader find out Luke was his son?
The Force.
That's a good question.
Or, I think it's very possible that, like, after taking out the first Death Star, people knew who Luke Skywalker was, and, hey, that's my last name! Whoa, my god!
Wait a second! Skywalker! Wait a minute.
It's not a common name.
And then, like, when Leia showed up there, her last name was Organa, so, nah.
He's like, ah, she's definitely not my daughter.
Nope. And boy...
Wait, what do you mean you're twins?
Boy, was his face red when he found out. Oh, my God. Do you know what I did to her? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, I blew up her planet.
I tortured her for hours. Oh, my God, I'm so fucking red.
And enjoyed it.
Oh, no, that was my daughter? That's weird. I feel bad.
What the hell?
That'd be an awkward Father's Day.
Anyway, so about Final Frontier.
Yep.
Got off on a tangent, yeah.
Frontier, so, in the comic book adaptation, they kept the rock monsters, if you guys know about the rock monsters.
No, I do not.
The final showdown was not supposed to be with the head floating at him. It was supposed to be, the god thing was supposed to bring up 20 lava-shooting rock monsters. That's the finale that Kirk wanted. And then, like, as they kept getting closer and closer, like, we can't do 20. We can do 10. And then they're like, oh, shit. We can do 5. Fuck, we got one done. Here's what it looks like. And it looked like, you know, a Power Ranger monster. And Kirk's like, oh, we're not going to do the rock monster. So I do wonder if the rock monster was an homage in Galaxy Quest.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Keith. Thank you for asking that question. I was like, then was the rock monster an homage? It just so happens, by total chance, my roommate got a new lens for a camera, and she was like, I want to mess around with it again. So the four of us went on a road trip off into the Eastern California mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And we found this similar spot to those rock monsters from Galaxy Quest.
Sweet. Oh, very cool.
So that was fun for me. Nobody else.
Did you take
Galaxy Quest.
Pictures of you running and someone photoshopped the monster behind you?
I should have.
Yes, please.
My apologies for not doing that.
It's How okay. Dare you. It's okay. You're in the moment.
Next time. It was freaking cold. Yes. All I know is that Shiner woke up at 4 in the morning to film this.
I hear that by this point the actors actually didn't like each other.
Oh, really?
I didn't dig too much deeper into that, but like, there's like, they'd had enough time where, like, at this point in their lives, like, all of them were, especially like, oh, mostly them against Kirk.
Mostly them against Shatner. Yeah, let's be honest here.
Yeah, they're all having trouble. So, but like, when you see them on screen, which I was like, kind of wondering what I thought about that, I was like, interesting, like, how, like, they're all having problems with each other, yet, like, when it comes to the job, they can pull together, because, like, that the chemistry I saw on screen felt very beautiful and genuine.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
It's like watching all those Seven of Nine and Janeway scenes, knowing that they secretly, like, had beef, and you're just like,
yeah, I kept, what like, every scene so I watched friends. Those two, and I'm like, let me see it. And they never, professionals, you know. It never slips.
It is disappointing, but Shatner's, you know, not that great of a person.
No. Yeah, he's kind of an asshole.
I don't know this, and I'm not sure how much I need to know. Because he saved the world several times, and...
it's all right, buddy.
Maybe you need to learn how to differentiate actors from their
characters. I know. Split the artist from the person. I will.
Was this the only one that Shatner directed?
Yes. It's like, yes. Okay. He may have directed one other thing in his life, and I can't remember what it was. But yeah, this did not go well for him for many reasons.
I feel like he had enough, he could produce things for, whatever, it didn't go well for him for many reasons?
Well, like, so, because Spock killed that shit the last two movies. He like, well, I want my turn then. And as he went into it, like, you know, like the studio was kind of like not caring as much about Star Trek anymore. So he's like, okay, for this vision, I need this much money. They're like, how about this less much money? And then we're going to keep giving you less. And then he's like, he's having trouble with less money and experience because, like, Spock had to, or Leonard Nimoy, he actually, like, tried not to help because he didn't want to mess with his friend's vision, but he did sometimes. And then there's, like another thing with, the writer's strike hit in the middle of it. Right, and then there's also, like, a strike of, like the prop people where they had to, they ran out of time and, like, they had to, like, be scared of people, like, destroying props and stuff. So, yeah, it was a bad time for him.
Well, sorry, Shatner.
But, you know, maybe God isn't out there. Maybe he isn't here. The human heart.
He's in inside, our heart.
He's inside each of us.
But what if you're not human?
If you think about it.
Yeah. What if I'm not human, huh?
We all are human, in a way. I say in my Starfleet racist way.
Yeah, it's species.
Yep.
Species.
Species way. I'm completely oblivious. That's offensive to say that. No. Spock was totally human.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's okay. I know it's a different movie that we've already talked about. Mm-hmm. But every freaking time Kirk goes like, he was the most human. I'm like, why would you say that to a guy who acts insulted every time he called him?
This guy specifically.
I mean, I know it was like a running gag between all your friends, but like still.
You know for years he hates that. Now that he can't say anything. You did it one more time, Kirk. You jerk.
Oh, I do tear up there every time I see that scene.
Oh, yeah, that still gets me.
Of course. I mean,
I'm like, oh my God. Spock.
Then, like, also, Sulu is a straight man. Okay. The actor,
George Takei.
George Takei. He did not like that they turned Sulu into a gay person in the Kelvin timeline. There you go.
Yeah. He's like, okay, that's the thing again. A character and an actor are different.
He's like, guys, I made my character a certain. Okay, I appreciate the homage, but like in this movie, Sulu and Chekhov are the knuckleheads trying to walk after the sexy Klingon chick.
It's a cute montage.
Also, he literally
just wonderful muscles.
He also literally has a daughter. So,
who has a daughter?
Samora.
Yeah,
Sulu.
She was on the Enterprise. Oh. No, yeah, C, right?
That's
was
right.
A C or, yeah.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
I'm C, yeah.
Pretty sure she comes a captain, doesn't she?
I think so.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
Yay.
She was on Generations.
There's a reference to it, but I'm not sure we actually see it.
I'm pretty sure I saw it somewhere. Is it some video? Yeah. She's on some episode.
It's somewhere out there. Whatever.
She's somewhere out there.
Maybe somewhere. No, I was gonna be like maybe one of the Voyager episodes, but that's actually Sulu.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm whatever. I can't remember it because I was actually thinking wasn't it a Voyager episode, but no.
No, that's Sulu because Tuvok was on a ship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad that he has a kid in Starfleet.
Demora.
Just like Kirk should have had, but oh no, we have to have loss in our stories so the characters can grow. Sure. Still bitter about them killing
it is funny, like it's just like here's a son. Okay.
Did you like that? Like, no, I didn't like
that
at all.
I had no idea you had a son. Well, I don't now.
Yeah.
That was touching for that one movie. Did you like that?
That one movie. Yeah, and he got over it pretty quick. I mean, it's not a that's basically my feelings about it. I feel like there's, like, the Cybok and God movie, and then the hanging out and having a good time movie. And I really like the hanging out and having a good time movie, and the Cybok movie is just a lot of questions for me.
My biggest disappointment is the stupid God planet. I was very happy with the idea of finding something that you might think is God through some, like, glowing mist cloud. And then once you get to this land of light, it should be awesome, like in Ultraman, which is a crystalline planet of like jade spires and stuff. And here, it's rocks.
Rocks.
Fucking rocks.
Why don't you like rocks?
That's not like a god planet? It's not.
Yeah.
Why can't we have, like, yeah, glowing? It should have been ethereal. It should have been amazing, but yeah. Rock planet.
I'm giving you a hard time, but I do agree.
I know.
I would have rather watched like an hour and a half, 2 hours of them camping than what we got, to be honest with you.
Yeah, me too.
I am glad.
I do love the camping scenes. Mm-hmm. And I understand why you're attached to it because of the whole, like, but why would God need a starship?
Yeah.
Like, what? This is bullshit.
For me, Star Trek is best when they're chasing a giant idea. Even though my favorite of is not them doing that.
Yeah. I did like how Kirk was kind of like screw you. I mean, you know, I don't care if you are God. Mm-hmm. Why do you need a starship? Just mouthing off to him.
God? Yeah, that's cool. You can't have my ship. It's mine. Fuck you.
Or somebody has stuck with me throughout time. Don't take away my pain. I need my pain.
I like that as well.
That was that really like stuck with me, and like I was like, you know what? All right.
It's like it makes me the person that I am. Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing that I find kind of interesting in this movie is when McCoy, Spock, like they all kind of give their truth to him, right? Their pain. And then they're like, nah, we're still not going with you, though. We're going to stay with Kirk. I mean, that just goes to show you, like, there's a bond that they have. And it's cute. Like, it's one of those things that makes you think, oh, wow, like, they really are like family. Like, they really value each other enough to where they can't be swayed like that. It was,
bros before foes.
I wonder if that was the bit where they betrayed him in the original script and they were like, not you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You give your pain to Cybok and then leave with him. No.
Spock's like, I'll pass.
My brother? Nah, dude. I stopped hanging out with him for a reason.
Kirk is my brother.
Mm-hmm. From another mother.
Aw.
Kind of how I feel about y'all. Kind of how I feel about y'all.
Aw.
Thanks, man.
I feel like I think you guys are like, you know, distant cousins to me, but whatever.
The cousins that you don't like. Yeah, I know.
I might betray you guys for someone who offers me a chance to meet God, but I would make sure you weren't killed.
I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take it.
Cool, Keith. I hope for your sake that it's actually God and not some televangelist.
Oh,
in the
my
sky.
God. You're right. Okay, remind me to bring my blasters with me and.
Okay, Keith, bring your blasters.
Gotcha.
It's like you better spare me, Keith. I sent your ass a birthday gift, so.
You'll be spared twice. All
right.
Now.
I think that's a reasonable argument. That makes sense.
Yeah. I'm just happy that we're, you know, basically done with this movie. We can get on to a good one.
Undiscovered Country. Fucking amazing movie.
I straight up don't remember the plot of Undiscovered Country, so that, I'm going to have a
I'm
a
looking
time.
Forward to it.
It is a hard contender, like, in the top spot on the mountain in my mind where Undiscovered Country, Wrath of Khan, and the motion picture all duke it out, and explosions of stars in my sky.
Definitely in my all top three. Exciting. I'll be honest about that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about the ranking of this movie then. Jay, you said it's definitely not at the top for you.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty, if not the bottom, basically the bottom three. It's somewhere in the bottom three. I'd rather not get into that yet because I haven't decided. I haven't decided the other two yet. I don't have a set list. I don't have a set list of my favorites. I just know that it's in my bottom three.
I see.
Fair enough.
Michael?
It's probably. Yeah, it's my bottom two maybe with this one and Motion Picture.
Mm-hmm.
That's where. So I'd probably actually. I kind of like Motion Picture a little better than this one, to be honest with you.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Personally, I'd probably rank this one above Motion Picture just because, like that end scene with the joining just really fucked me up as a kid.
Oh,
I was just like, what is happening? But yeah, definitely. I would watch scenes from this movie, but probably not choose to watch the whole movie.
Yeah.
My son, I was trying to talk.
You got a hair?
I was trying to talk my son into watching it with me, and he was like, no, I'm good. He was like 5 minutes in, and he was like, no, I'm going to go play Fortnite. I'm like, all right, buddy, I tried.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Those kids in their Fortnite.
I know.
Ding-ding kids.
I know.
Keith, where are you ranking
them? Mine is a solid B listing tier. Hmm. It is not, of course, not at the top. The top is battling it out with Motion Picture, Wrathcon, and Undiscovered Country. I'd say just below that comes the Final Frontier. I put that over Voyage Home and any of the shitty Next Generation movies.
What? What did you say?
Yeah. All the shitty Next Generation movies. Wait.
Even First Contact?
Maybe.
All right, yeah. we'll get to that
we're
one.
We're gonna have some words.
All right. Yeah. I'm ready. Like First Contact.
Wait, what's your
okay,
address?
First Contact is just a little too fair.
Diehard actiony, and that's not welcome for Star Trek.
Okay.
Yeah, and also to be fair, the two of y'all, Michael and Jay, have a hard weakness for anything that's the Next Generation related.
Well, you're right. I was going to say earlier, I can't really speak about my top and bottom movies because my favorite is Insurrection, and that is probably one of the worst movies as far as reviews go ever. But for some reason, it just hits me right here.
It hits me right here
in the hearts. You know,
I love that you love it too. I told you I was going to try to watch it. I did recently. Like, I got about five minutes in. I'm sorry, I can't do this shit.
That's fair. Yeah.
And
so that's what I'm saying. Like, my credibility has been gone for a long time, and I own that. I'm good with it.
We still love you, Jay.
Okay, so I have two different ways I list things in my heart. One of them is like personal favorite. Then there's like technical best. So yeah, that's why Final Frontier, with all this goofy stupid, can still top be technically better First Contact.
Because this is your feelings charts rather than
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. Mm-hmm. I think people should recognize that rankings are subjective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, they definitely should.
And maybe we would have less fights about stupid shit, and we could have more fights about things that matter.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
If only.
Well, yeah. All right. I don't really have anything else to say about that. I personally would rank it, like, bottom three quarters, I think. Mm. There are some scenes that I love in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, me too, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the bad reviews that I've watched, at the end, everybody goes, but, you know, like, it's because the character scene and just, like, the whole, like, thing they got going on, it's like, yeah, I love you fucking guys.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I love watching the primary triad hang out. I love watching the shenanigans that, like, everybody else gets into, who are just like, oh, you guys need saving? Let me just, all right, charm 600 people simultaneously, and Sulu and Chekhov just like doing some weird shit. Like, what are you guys doing over there? Did you see that odd Klingon lady?
Oh, real quick, I love the interaction between what is it? Damn,
Scotty and Uhura.
Yes, thank you.
Dating.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. It was very cute, I thought. I'm not sure. My feelings are. They seem to get away with what they wanted to do, and they're having fun. I don't see why they're doing it, though.
Yeah. Scott. Scotty's still one of my favorites. I mean, I love, like, blowing the thing out and being like, don't you know a jailbreak when you see one? Like, he's so animated, and his, like, character is just so, like, what are you waiting for? Come on! You know, like, I love his energy so much.
Yep.
I love his energy so much.
Yeah.
Hello, computer. I wonder if the IT crowd scene is in any way a reference to that, actually.
Which scene?
There's a scene in IT crowd where they go up to talk to Renim, and then they want to tell him that they don't want to be a team, and he's like, team, I even love saying the word team. And then he fires the security team for not working together as a team, so they're like, oh shit, we better lie. And they're like, oh, haha, we're getting along great, haha, so we love each other. And he's like, so why did you come up here? And they're like, oh, we just wanted to tell you that we added voice recognition to your computer. Yeah, it might take a while. And then they leave, and then the like, during credits scene is him just going, hello, Hello, computer.
Oh, it's yeah.
Hello, nice. Computer.
They seem geeky enough.
Hello.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'll have to watch that episode again.
Star Trek reference. Anyway, yep. Nerds everywhere. They make me very happy.
There are people.
Mm-hmm. People, yes.
For better or worse.
Those are all of my notes.
Me too.
Mostly worst. Samesies. Alright, well, we did almost exactly an hour. That's impressive.
Woo!
I mean, we only had, two months of time away to come up with stuff, so, okay.
We're only talking about this one movie, okay? I didn't know I was supposed to do any.
This is one of our epic 2-hour episodes. What are we even doing with our lives?
Clearly not getting angry enough. We all know that the longer the episodes, the more angry.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I know.
This did not try to piss us off. Do you want to talk for a long time? Let's do some Star Trek Discovery episodes, and I will show you the way of anger. I'm trying. I'm still trying to like it. Every episode, I'm trying. Every episode. And it just sticks its finger in my eye.
I stopped watching Discovery 4 or 5 episodes ago. I was like,
But the season finale just happened. It's so good.
I want to experience the pain. Honestly do. I want to know.
Maybe I'll go watch it.
I want to know how bad it gets. And for some reason, I just want to feel it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. We can talk about it.
These last months have been bad enough for me. I don't want to make it worse by watching Star Trek.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. It's right now the season is Star Trek Seventh Heaven tone.
Oh, great.
I don't know what that means. I don't want to know. Please don't tell me.
Well, I found out that we have a listener, a fan, my friend's dad, Mr. Kastner. Oh. I wanted to shout out and say thank you. He told my friend Emily to let me know that even though he doesn't agree with me pretty much at all, he still listens to the podcast, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, that's great.
Dude, Mr. Kastner, I'm honored.
Thank you for listening.
If you agree with Jay on everything, does that mean you agree with me on
So, hey, Mr. Kastner, thank you for not agreeing with me, but thank you for listening.
Yeah, get his address, Jay, and we'll send him a t-shirt.
This sounds you most likely agree with me and Sabrina, and sometimes Michael, so you're in the right...
You're on exactly.
You're on the right path.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We appreciate all of you, even if you disagree with every single one of us, which would be very impressive, because we cover bases. Not all of them. There's only 4 of us, but we cover many a base.
One thing I think would be cool, and this is something hopefully is okay to bring up on podcast, but I think that if people reach out through social media, we should actually have a section at the end of it where we call, where we name the people and say, hey, thanks for the comment or whatever, because I think that'd be a fun way to incorporate our listeners and our fans,
You know what else our listeners and fans can do? They can go to the Discord and have monthly Star Trek chats.
That's right. I even pop in and crash him every now and then.
Right. And then when he comes in, we all leave. So
hence the word crash. I come in and everyone leaves and I crash the server. Yeah.
You're like, hello! And the whole thing burns down.
I put forth this idea that let them know that what day we're going to be recording and what movie about, and drop your comment. Let us know what you thought of the movie. We'll read it on the air.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll be another thing we need to talk about.
Yes. Yeah. Also, if you have any questions or if you want to have an argument with us about a specific thing that we said, please let us know and we will argue back to you without giving you the chance of responding.
So and just feel free to go online and tell everyone how wrong I am all the time, because then they will they will all agree.
I do that too.
And then you will all win. It'll be good for all of you, right?
Yeah. We'll all feel better.
Please just send us messages about how we're right.
There you go.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next, we will be talking about The Undiscovered Country. If you
put that together. Let's
do it. Guess who's coming to dinner?
Thanks for joining us, and welcome to the new year. Hopefully this one is better than the last. If it's not, then we'll be there with you, right there with you.
And to everyone out there, please remember to keep looking up.
I know.
Oh, I missed that.
Thank you, everyone. Bye. Bye.
Oh, and in Star Trek Discovery, if you're listening, thank you. I saw the homage to me. Thank you.
Yep.
And find us on PopGeeks.com.
Yes, PopGeeks.com.
Bye.
Bye. Love you. Bye. Bye.